The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. And good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello and welcome to My Brother and Me, an advice show for the modern era. I am your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middleest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your baby brother, Griffin.
It's Dad's Day, obviously, and I thought we could start off by remembering some of our dad's best zingers. I'll start to give you guys time to think about it. We were in a parking lot, and this guy was walking across the parking lot and blocking my dad's progress to our dad's progress to a parking space. And this gentleman was walking slowly in front of Dad and not in any way expediting his travel. And he yelled at the guy, in the car because with the windows rolled up because we're Baptists, yelled at the guy, "Hey, this hat-wearing geeka boy needs to get out of the way." And the gentleman was not wearing a hat.
Yeah.
So I don't know why.
She had to be wearing a hat.
I'm not sure why hat-wearing geeka boy was the fucking zinger that Dad decided to apply to this gentleman. Maybe he had a hat. Time has etched away so much of this memory. It's hard to say, but
you know, I think my favorite is the time that we were all sitting in the back seat, and, you know, we were having a spat, as young brothers are like to do, smacking one another and, you know, hitting each other. And Dad turns around from the driver's seat and says, "You guys stop fiddly farting around back there."
Yeah.
And, like, all three of us stopped, and we're like, "Well, excuse me?"
That story gives him, pardon? That story applies to our dad a sort of Flandersian charm. My favorite is the time that he was up in the attic arranging his comic book collection, and he took the screen out of the window because it was so hot, and then he bent down to pick up a box of comics and cut his butt wide open on the edge of the screen, and then we didn't have any bandages big enough to go on his butt gash, and so he duct taped a maxi pad to his butt.
Do we want to go through just a list of times Dad's injured himself? Because there was a time he dumped bleach and kitty litter down the sink without seeing a problem with it and passed out in the basement for several hours.
And his fellow DJ, when explaining why he was not on the show the next morning, announced to Huntington, West Virginia, that our dad was freebasing kitty litter.
Probably the saddest injury that he got was he was... If I had seen, okay, he was bringing a tray of cold cuts to a Little League game, and a van drove past him, and the rear view mirror, like the side view mirror, was so close that it blasted him in the chest, sending cold cuts flying. If I had seen this happen, I would fucking still be laughing about it.
Like,
no
scene from
question.
The Godfather, just pastrami and roast beef floating through the air.
Capicola everywhere. I would, oh man, I would give anything.
And then slow opera music played, and you just saw like the tray flipping over and over in the air.
And I remember we were all in the car to the ER, and he was not that badly hurt, so you can laugh at home, it's fine. We were all in the car to the ER, and a lady that worked with Dad was praying over him, and just, "Oh Lord, we just ask you watch over Brother Clint, and just help to protect him as we take him into the hands of the doctors, and I know you are going to work through those doctors' hands." And in my head, I'm thinking, that was carrying cold cuts. He got blasted by a side view mirror. Let's not bother God about this one. This one falls. That got hit by a car that was like driving at him. Like, let's not bother God with this one. I think this one's pretty squarely on my dad's shoulders.
He just couldn't ditch the cold cuts. He didn't want to sacrifice the cold cuts for his own safety. He's a martyr, really.
Yeah.
Right.
What a big, dumb animal.
Hey, love you, Dad.
Love you, Daddy.
You big, stupid yeti.
That's me. And, like, you know what's weird is I'll watch we have a bunch of home movies from those days. There was a weird window for those of you who are too young to remember it. There was a weird window when tapes, like VHS recorders that you could put on your shoulder came into vogue. And the idea of being able to record events was so novel that you would just record everything.
Like everything.
Like everything. And it's great. Actually,
look, they're sitting outside. I better film it.
Yeah, right. So we have DVDs full of this stuff, and I realized that the DVDs we have start when I was 5 years old, meaning that Dad was 25 when I was married, so he would have been 31 in these videos, and that's how old I am. We have reached the singularity. Like, I have full documentation of how it's going to go.
full from documentation. From here on out, you can chart from your here progress. On out.
Exactly. Like, I know exactly where I'm headed. Anyway, thank you for indulging us as we reminisce about our papa. I'm sure you have a story that you can share aloud as you talk over us, but we're going to move on to some advice. First question. I've been told recently that I will be getting my braces taken off on the 20th of June, the solstice. I remember that Griffin
Excuse
said...
Excuse me?
I remember Griffin said that's the best day to get them off. Is the sun. I read that in Poor Richard's Almanac.
Oh, because you get 12 hours off. Of sunshine on your teeth and 12 hours of darkness
exactly.
on your teeth.
You can stand an egg on your teeth is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. I remember that Griffin said he had braces. My question to you is this. Will it be painful? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being tickled, 10 being forced to listen to Justin Bieber, how painful is it? That's soon to be not brace face in Ireland.
There's a lot of unfair misconceptions in this question. I think the first being that Justin Bieber, get over it, guys.
Come on, people. It's not his fault.
He writes solid music. You're coming at this all wrong because you're asking this apparatus that has been like dragging my teeth around my mouth for however many years that sucks so bad. I'm getting it removed from my face so it can't do that to me anymore. Is that going to hurt? No, it's the opposite of that. It's been hurting you for so long and you don't even realize it. Well, you probably
is it like the dental equivalent of that scene in Forrest Gump where he runs so hard that the braces fly off his legs?
That's pretty much it.
You just start chewing, and she's like, chew, Forrest, chew.
Yeah, yeah. No, they just make you smile, like, really hard. They make you...
Until they pop off.
Uh-huh.
Medical science sure has come a long way.
It's unpleasant.
Yeah, I'm glad this is all true.
It's unpleasant in the way that, like, when people apply force to your teeth. Oh, God. Is there anything worse than that? I don't care if you're, like... I don't care what they're doing in there. I just don't want anybody to apply any amount of force to my teeth. I don't even like chewing hard foods for this very reason. But no, it doesn't hurt. It's pretty much the best thing ever. There's a marked difference in my life the day I got my
braces.
Griffin,
what was the first thing you ate when you got your braces?
Oh, yeah. What was the first thing you ate?
They were a little delicate, so probably some sort of porridge.
What was the first contraband food?
Yeah, do you fucking really think that I was the kind of kid who like would shy from Doritos? No way, no way.
That,
every
that
night
does explain a lot. I would how your teeth ended up.
I would rock. Oh, you fuck off. Here's the lie that you're not going to be ready for, Mr. or Mrs. soon to be brace face in Ireland. When you get your braces off, your teeth are going to fucking move. They're going to move again. I wore my retainers, no joke, every day for 6 months and every night for 2 years. My shit's all jacked up. My grill is all jacked up again. Nothing you can do about it.
I like your grill, though.
It's got like a Kirsten Dunst charm, and I think that that's important.
Your teeth are like the Inglorious Bastard.
It splits the it splits the uprights between Dunst and Buscemi, and I think that's important. But
I've got large gaps in my teeth, but mom and dad, I don't know. Times must have been tight. They must have been tighter.
At
that
age.
Point, no. David Letterman was really popular, and they were just hoping that you could cash in on that.
No.
You know who's big right now? Lauren Bacall. Justin's going to catch that fever.
We don't want to argue about whose grill was more jacked during our childhood. It's yours. Because, oh, fuck, it was mine looked like a fence built by a drunk person.
for a plate of biscuits.
For a plate of biscuits. It was rough stuff in there. My mouth looked like the fucking Sarlacc pit.
Well, I always had really great teeth, and then one day my gum started spontaneously bleeding.
Well, that's
so I don't know who wins and who loses.
It's because you got to brush them, you silly goose. You got to brush up there. But it may suck, but holy shit, it's going to be the best day of your entire life. So yeah, enjoy. I'm happy for you. Everyone get braces. How come adults don't get braces anymore?
I don't know. When I see an adult with braces, I always imagine someone trying to recapture their youth.
Yeah.
Which there are many better ways.
You know who
it.
Looked good? Bill Macy in Magnolia. Oh man, didn't he look great with that shining plate mail up on his mouth? Didn't that look great up there? It. Didn't see Magnolia.
Didn't see it.
What about?
I'm sure Travis, did you see it?
I don't know which one that is.
You uncultured fucks.
Sorry, Griffin.
Hey, how about you class this joint up a bit, Ditto?
Oh, with a Yahoo answer?
Exactly. With the classiest of Yahoo answers.
Whatever the classiest one you got is.
How about this one? It was sent in by Nick Klaus. Or Klaus. Nick Klaus. Thank you, Nick. It's by Yahoo Answers user Yahoo Mystery. Who asks, guitar or bow and arrows? I have $100. I'm a 14-year-old male. I've been wanting a guitar for a couple of years, and I've wanted a bow ever since I saw Teen Wolf last summer.
I got
interested in the guitar from YouTube videos, and because I got interested in music a couple of years ago when I was in fifth grade, I'm pretty sure. I just want to know which one I should get. I don't have anything to do in the summer. I have summer reading I can do, but I don't know if I'm in the class yet. Thanks.
Oh okay, my God! This question makes me so happy.
Yeah.
This is like watching that the summer version of Christmas Story. You know that?
Yeah.
Reading a nostalgic Gene Shepard novel in one Yahoo answer question.
I love it because it's kind of like a rest of the story kind of setup. Uh-huh. Like you can see the two paths diverge.
Right.
And in one, he gets the guitar and becomes like the next Jimi Hendrix. And the other, he gets a bow and arrow and shoots his little brother in the face.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say he'd become the Jimi Hendrix of archery. Because he didn't know any archers.
He's doing a wicked bow and arrow solo.
So riddle me this real quick. Teen Wolf, the film, doesn't have a bow and arrow.
No, it has to be like the TV show Teen Wolf, which I, to this day, am unsure if it's a spinoff of the movie or not. But I don't believe in
Teen Wolf.
Yeah,
there's like a 50-year-old Styles who runs the comic book shop
and sells people bows and arrows.
It's canon.
Is this just somebody who saw Hunger Games and is like... Mm-hmm. Gotta get down on that. That's a good look. That's practical.
Right. You gotta have some sort of skill by the time when Quetzalcoatl comes.
Yeah.
This is someone who saw the hit film Weatherman with Nicolas Cage.
Oh.
And he's like, yeah, bow and arrow.
Go,
I can do that.
Go home. Go away.
What? You don't like that film?
It's not germane. It's from like 1981, that movie was
it's
released.
It's basically like the same as Hunger Games. Like Hunger Games and Weatherman are basically on the same level.
Man, Weatherman's a cool movie.
Yeah, way cooler than Hunger Games.
Way better than Hunger Games.
Hunger Games.
Welcome to our movie review cast where we compare two utterly disparate movies and make one be the best. I have this question. As an elderly gentleman, this question makes me so nostalgic for a time when I have $100. I can buy one of two things.
Yeah.
Those two things are a guitar or a bow and arrow. Like, that's the only time money was cool. Now money is symbolic. Like, I see money and it's like, thank you for the gas in my house. Like, mm-hmm. Thank you for the lights are on.
This
kid's like, I have a $100 bill. I'm going to buy a fucking guitar.
Yeah.
Or maybe a weapon.
I still get this way. I came into $500 recently that I was not expecting to get. And it was almost like the hunt was fucking on. It was like, what can I put this on? What can I make mine with this money? It's not real money because it's not. You know it's not.
Yeah, like I recently got paid and I was like, yeah, I'm going to get my brakes fixed so I don't die.
Well, no. Payment and compensation for work, that is money. That's money that you have that you need. I sold a computer that I didn't think I was going to sell. And I was like, I have this money now. And it's not real money because it's surprise money. And I bought an iPad.
No, you should have done.
Bought an iPad because that's what I did do.
No, you should have bought your computer back from the person.
Oh, shit.
They're finding your power.
I could have bought 5 bows and arrows. And then my friends and I could have Hawkeyed all around Austin, righting wrongs and shooting people. And tires.
I don't know. Is this what things cost now? Are both bows There's and guitars no $100?
Here's, I'm saying go with bow and arrow for show because $100 is going to buy you a really shitty guitar. It's going to buy you a first act toy. Oh, I bet you could buy you an okay bow, though. At least like a recurve. Compound, like the gears and pulleys.
Oh, there's no way you're getting a compound.
Yeah. Hey,
guys, have you guys ever... Let me ask you a serious question.
Yeah, sure.
I hate to serious this up, but... Have you guys ever seriously considered buying a bow and arrow?
Yes.
Well, okay, arrows. Let's go hog wild. Buy multiple arrows.
Actually, so in high school, there are many options as to what kind of gym class you could take. And I opted to take individual dual sports, which was like nerd sports. And so it was sports like ping pong,
bowling. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of them was archery.
I was on that same track, I think. I think backgammon was part of it.
It was literally like they looked at the rest of my schedule and said, taking a lot of theater classes, huh? Have we got the gym class for you?
How do you feel about tumbling?
If we had a spinning class, you'd be doing that.
What about crokinole? Are you down?
So we did archery for like 2 days, and that shit is dope. It's awesome.
Well, it's not when you're
it's
using
not really
like
a translatable skill though.
When you're using what is tantamount to a first act bow and arrow, it's pretty awesome. But if you ever try to shoot a real bow and arrow, unless you possess tremendous amounts of upper body strength, you shake like you are experiencing an earthquake that only you can feel, and it's humiliating.
Well, I want to point out that we were going to school in West Virginia. A kid brought in his compound bow.
Well, a compound bow has tools built into it that help you pull it back, but if you ever try to fire like a real ass,
you're talking like a long bow,
like a gentleman's
like old ass archer,
like a gentleman's bow
for a manly. Like something for killing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like an adult bow and arrow.
An adult caveman bow.
Hey, one of my friends insists on going swimming every time. What is the demo of our fucking show? We talk about fucking girls with Garfield heads. Where are these teens who are like, listen, my favorite flavor of Pixie Stick got canceled. What is up? Guys, I got Cheeto dust all over my hands. And there's a big line to hop in the pool. What should I do? I'm just glad everybody's out there having
some
fun.
Now, just read through this question. It takes an interesting turn.
Okay. One of my friends insists on going swimming every time he comes to visit. He always brings his trunks and shows up with the expectation of going swimming, which wouldn't be annoying, except that the pool belongs to my neighbors. I very much enjoy swimming, and my neighbors are good people, but that doesn't mean I'm free to swim there whenever I want. For whatever reason, my friend fails to understand that this is not my pool, and I do not want to abuse my neighbor's kindness. How can I remedy this situation without coming off as a jerk? That's from Drowning in Des Moines.
It's easy. Tell your friend to stop being a moron. It's not your pool.
Say, hey, it's not my pool. Nah, that's too easy.
No, yeah.
We should have something harder.
You gotta
that calm. Pool? It's infested.
I mean, you just—it's
us. So we should have a more complex solution with a higher probability of arrest.
You gotta come up with a system for warning your neighbors. Like, hey, Bryce is a coming. You know what that means?
Time to cover the pool.
Just leave the gate open. We'll see you at 8.
Have some burgers ready. We're gonna
Get
be
some
hungry.
Burgers ready. My tie's at 9. Let's roll.
You Wet and your wife can totally join us.
Wet teacher contest at 10 p.m. Will you and Mrs. Rumbunclun be there? I sure hope so.
Hey, sorry. I'm sorry. What was her last name?
Well,
can you repeat that?
Let me take the wall down for you. I was going to say Mrs. Robinson, and then I realized that has some context outside of my goof that may not make the goof pan out, because then it would be like, oh, she's sexy and she's down with younger men. That's not what I was going for.
So instead you went with a Klingon word.
Mm-hmm. I went with Rumaklov.
We are engaging in the Battle of Rumaklov.
Your friend is a fucking idiot. How does he not how does he not get, like, oh man, this makes me so angry. This makes me angry, like, how we had a basketball court in our backyard and our neighbors would just be like, what's up, hoop dreams? And I'm like, hey, if you don't mind, it's midnight and I'm watching a movie in here trying to get my swerve on, maybe. If you could, like, cut the hoop dreams for a second.
Make them like hoop daydreams.
Yeah.
If you're going to have hoop when I'm at school dreams, that would be good.
That's fine.
And just to make sure we're all on the same page, we picture this friend rolling up, ringing the doorbell. When you open the door, he's got a towel slung over his shoulder. He's in trunks.
Water wings. On.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's great. I got those, what are those things that make your feet like a fish?
Flippers?
Thank you.
What the
fuck? Yeah, I think flippers. Is that what it is?
Did you have a
flippers?
He's just wearing a full-on mermaid tail. Let's do this.
I know flippers are what you put in to make your toddler's teeth not look so whack. So I didn't know if that was the same thing, same word.
I think here's the solution. You need to cut yourself out as the middleman. You need to go next door, introduce your friend to the neighbors, and be like, it's up to you now. Like, this is all on you.
Now you guys are friends.
I ain't got no dog in this race.
Bryce is going to be staying with you for the weekend.
This is Bryce. He loves tacos. Take good care of him.
And also
he's my old buddy.
What was that?
That's me blowing my nose. Don't address it. Fuck.
It sounded like a ghost going through a tunnel. It was terrifying. Was horrifying.
I thought that for a second our podcast had become possessed.
It sounded like when the Grim Reaper slips past your ear. Like,
oh no, someone has literally walked over my grave and then dug it up and started punching my corpse.
And blowing in my ear. Gross. Stop it. I'm getting a boner. How does he not know? Like, one house is your house, and there is not a pool behind it.
I'm going to go out on a limb.
Maybe that's how he's getting to the pool.
I'm going to guess that you feel that you've clearly expressed to your friend that it is not okay and it's not a good deal. But I'm betting that you've maybe been a little too subtle and said something along the lines of, like, I don't know, they're busy, or how about you need to say, like, listen, dude, it's not cool. I don't feel comfortable going over there. It's not my pool. We did it that one time, and it was awesome because they invited us over. We don't have free reign over it.
You can always just throw it on them. Just say, like, they said we couldn't go anymore. Yeah. It's a tough break, huh? Well, win some, you lose some. Let's play Atari. Yeah.
Mr. Rogbinshaw died in that pool. And now he's it's got a pool.
Listen, Mr. Rachmaninoff does not appreciate us swimming in his pool and listening to his classical
and
music.
And listen, there's the ghost of Mr. Ronkonkomal. It's gonna haunt that pool, like in that one episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark? And we all know how that
is. Oh, shit.
It's the scariest one, too.
It's the fucking scariest one.
No, it's not. The girl in the mirror is the scariest one. Don't start.
A dead body? Can you find a dead body or maybe even like roadkill and just throw it in the pool? Because that was going to solve your problems. Mm. Or just put a big sign outside that says haunted. I can visualize that.
Oh, shit. That's
haunted pool. Don't swim at your own risk. And then there's a picture of a Patrick Swayze.
Are you saying Patrick Swayze is in the movie Ghost or because Patrick Swayze is dead?
Yeah, let's clarify.
Is dead?
No, Patrick Swayze from the movie Ghost.
Not just.
By the way, they started a Ghost musical on Broadway, and I think it's kind of fucked up they didn't get Patrick Swayze. I mean, he's right there, all around you.
Justin,
like,
are you Roadhouse? Saying that? Okay, are you saying what? That Patrick Swayze, now that he's dead, he occupies all the space
all
Broadway? In the world?
No, I'm saying he's a ghost now, so like. He's even
better. Oh, so
they could
have cut back on the special effects budget.
Exactly. He could just manifest himself. He's an even better fit for the role than he was before.
If such a thing is even possible, he nailed it.
He nailed it. I miss him. I feel bad about this goof.
When he was dying, do you think he was like, don't worry, guys, I got this?
It was just like
super cool. It's like, guys.
Way over.
This is not.
I've been preparing for this my whole
this
life.
This is not my first time at the rodeo. So don't shed a tear. I'll see you. See you later at pottery class.
Like, don't even trip, because I know my friend Vincent Chiavelli is going to come and teach me all the tricks that they may be different tricks, but he had my back before. Mm. I have no reason to think that he won't, again, have my back.
Oh, this is
awful. You know who was really freaked out while all that was going on?
Who's that?
Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for different reasons. She's got a lot of her own shit going on.
Yeah, Whoopi's got a lot on her plate. I don't know. She's got The View and
she's got her talk show, doesn't she? Doesn't she have a drive time Whoopi in the morning? Isn't that a thing mm-hmm. that she has? Let's make Whoopi a radio show in the morning. Make it Whoopi. A Whoopi.
No, actually, Making show. Whoopi is a sci-fi channel show about cloning Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, God.
And that's, I wish we could. Man, my dream woman is Color Purple era Whoopi Goldberg.
Times six.
Weird Science 3. What are we doing? Do you guys?
What if the sixth Whoopi Goldberg was really stupid, like Doug in Multiplicity?
Like in Multiplicity.
Remember, like 5 minutes before we started recording, we're like, "All right, guys, we're gonna make this show, this particular episode, a lot more welcoming to newcomers by not talking about weird, dumb shit for 10 minutes at a time."
Okay, you're right. Let's rein it in. Let's be a little more practical.
Okay.
I've recently started my first job out of university or college, if you prefer, and I do. And I'm finding it difficult to stay awake during meetings. In any meeting that goes on for more than a half hour, I find it difficult to focus and often start to nod off unless I'm constantly involved. Do you have any advice for me before someone notices and I get fired? As I have at least one meeting a day, and they often contain important information for my work. This is becoming a real problem. That's from Lethargic in London.
I have a solution.
Oh, no.
I think it's a home run.
Oh, God.
Keep in your office or cubicle or whatever.
This is going to be stupid.
Nope. A pair of really uncomfortable shoes. And before the meeting, change into these shoes that are either too tight or they're just uncomfortable in some way. And they will stop you from falling asleep during the meeting.
I can't decide. That's not,
Is it almost a... I don't know if it's like a bad idea.
No, it's brilliant, you guys.
I think it's an okay idea. I would suggest, first off, try that, I guess. It sounds as plausible as anything. Are you getting enough sleep? Are you getting like your 7 to 8 hours? Because that's really key. Also, I see lots of ads for 5-hour energy drinks. People replacing their coffee with them, which grosses me out, but...
And you should get the 5-hour energy drink because it keeps you awake for 5 hours because your stomach wants to die.
Yeah. It'll make you nauseous.
Are you not a 5-hour energy drink fan?
No, I had one at Max FunCon and it made me want to kill myself.
You're probably
well, I also have like the constitution of like a 2-year-old, so.
Yeah,
you got that all those tummy.
Can I put forth one possible solution?
What's that?
Just fucking go to sleep during the meeting.
Just slip on some shades and kick back.
If they can't fucking turn their PowerPoint presentations and do a Rock You Like a Hurricane roller coaster, then that's their fucking problem. Like, if they're putting you to sleep, then they need to know about it.
Right.
You know, a while back, do you remember we got that question where somebody was like, how do I, like, gain an affectation at work? Maybe you're the sleepy guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's just Sleepy Jim. That's what he does. You know,
people always say that, like, this presentation we're doing is boring. I'm worried we're going to put people to sleep. Like, you are creating actual metric. Like,
you're the canary in the coal mine.
Yeah. Exactly, in the boring coal mine. I'm asleep. Spice it up. And maybe that'll make people work harder.
Maybe
like, they want to win you over.
Yelling that out. Like, this is boring. Spice it up! I'm going to sleep over here.
Yeah.
Do lights and smoke and shit.
That's it. No.
Tell a funny story about me.
You don't need to tell them to do that to their presentations. You can do that for them. You can be the guy who like shows up to each presentation with a fucking boombox and just start blasting Crazy Train as they're talking about, you know, their gross earnings. Is that it?
And then start spinning some glow sticks around. Mm-hmm.
The other thing you might try that's a little easier, that goes in line with Travis's shoe advice, maybe try, like, taking notes the whole time. Like, engaging yourself that way. Just because when that way you're not passive, and you're engaged, even if it's not like you're not adding to it. The other option is you say you stay awake when you add to it. Maybe just start adding to it a lot more.
I agree.
Maybe just dip in every 20 seconds or so. Yeah, this is a great point.
That's what I was going to say.
I was going to say that earlier.
I agree with you.
You can be like like a founding father in the first Congressional Congress. Is that what it was called when they...
Continental Congress.
First Continental Congress where they...
No, I think it was the first Congressional Congress. It was the first
senatorial congressional Senate. And just like having...
And the second presidential president.
Of gubernatorial goobers meeting.
You gotta have like a cane that you can like bang on the table when somebody says something.
And you're like, here.
Just like... Open up a window.
Harumph, harumph, harumph.
Sit down, Dan.
I'm trying to do my PowerPoint.
Oh man, I hope.
And also, Ben Franklin is there.
Yeah, also just be Ben Franklin. No. No, there's nothing actionable in that thing I just said.
No.
I just kind of wanted to picture Ben Franklin in a room going, "Play Crazy Train."
Yeah.
Do it.
The problem is that we really can't address questions this boring anymore, because you're making us bored with your boring shit.
There's a reason none of us work in offices, and it's this very reason.
Yeah,
right.
Like 30 seconds or less, I'd be asleep.
Here's the solution I went with. Don't go back.
Stop going to work.
Stop going. You know what? Live like you're dying. Just fucking go to sleep. Mm-hmm. So what? Office space this out.
Like, don't even hide it. Like, pull a pillow out of your briefcase, put it on the table, like, spin around 3 times, and go take a snooze.
I wonder if there's a whole generation of people who saw Office Space and just said, fuck it. And that's why we have such a high unemployment rate.
But then there's also a generation of people who watch The Office and it's like, but these people are my best friends. I'm going to find true love here.
This is going to be so zany.
You're not, though. And it's not. It's going to be boring. It's not. You're just going to fucking sleep all the time. God. Work is awful. Go work on the internet. I sleep at home all the time. Nobody knows.
You know, if you want to work on the internet, then you gotta make money.
Okay.
In the money zone. Is that good?
What the fuck are you doing?
Was that good? I saw an opening and I took it.
The fuck do you think you're doing?
I'm angling for your job, McElroy.
Hey guys, here's some sad libs for you. Blah, 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 blah.
No, Griffin, no!
Fart giraffes.
Wait, fart giraffes. I like this vein. Let's tap into it.
This message is for Russell and Laura from Nathan. Congrats to Russ and Laura on getting hitched this weekend. Russ is a rad photographer, and Laura is just flat out rad, and they're both going out and getting it in 20 does like champions. They are they would have gotten married last weekend, I guess. So congratulations to you guys.
On your first week of rad marriage.
Yeah.
I hope you're still together.
Do you think they came down the aisle on like skateboards, or like maybe he was on a Razor scooter? And maybe they like got up to the preacher and they just like flipped him off and they're like, "Fuck you, we don't need your institution." And then they kissed like real deep and
gross, right? Grossing out all. And he's like, "Sorry, granny." Mm-hmm.
And then they're like spray painted on somebody in the front row.
Yeah. And then
they signed the marriage papers.
No, that's not rad. But what if
they signed it with like a big dildo shaped pen.
Okay. What if they cut into their wedding pizza? And she fed him a slice, hot slice of wedding pizza, because that's pretty rare.
And then smashed it on his face and it burned him because the oil was really hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guys, this podcast is supported by Microsoft's Bing, a new way to search. Use Bing to search the web and your own social media networks with the new social search sidebar, allowing you to ask your friends as well as the experts. Try it online at bing.com. Bing is for doing.
Like experts like us?
No, like actual real ass experts.
There are real experts? Why do people keep asking us questions?
We have to be experts in something by this point, don't we? Like, accidentally even.
How to get fired. I think we probably have more diverse and illegal methods of getting fired than anybody.
How to make your dad cringe.
Okay.
How to make your nanny cry. If that's a category
that's
of expertise.
That's easy, though. Like, pussy.
Griffin.
Well, now everyone's uncomfortable.
Let's
do a Yahoo. This one was sent in by Lisa Holofield and, like, four other people. I got this from a lot of sources, so it promises to be pretty good. It's by Yahoo Answers user Unerring Pear, who asks, if I shave my golden retriever like a lion, will the other dogs respect him more? Because he's kind of the neighborhood loser.
Oh, no.
That's it.
It went from being kind of funny to kind of sad.
You're superimposing a lot of hierarchy onto dogs. Mm.
Yeah.
First of all, lion is king of the cats. Totally different thing.
It's like their arch enemy, basically.
Yeah.
That's like saying, I'm going to dress him up like Mumra so he can hang with his buddies, the Thundercats. Like, no, that's going to make him really sad. They're going to hate
him.
It's
like saying, I'm going to dress him up like Rufio so he can hang out with all Hook's pirates.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. It's like saying...
Anybody else?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you got, Griffin? You got something?
I'm trying to think. Let me think of two opposed. I went to Nazis, like, instantly, and there's nothing there that's going to be... Churchill?
Yeah, that...
It's like dressing up like Churchill, and then he gets to hang out with the
I would love Nazis. To see a dog dressed up like Churchill.
Sure. Oh my God, photos, please.
Please, somebody dress up your fat-ass dog like Winston Churchill.
I bet you
it's
anything.
All I want.
I am Googling right now, dog dressed like bee. Winston.
Dog dressed like bee. Bee dogs.
So, okay,
Google
so...
It. Google bee dogs.
I'm not Googling bee dog. Oh yes, I see a dog with glasses who looks like Churchill. Everybody,
is it a bulldog?
If you can, sorry.
You know it's
a bulldog.
Yay.
Everybody, if you can make more pictures of your dog dressed like Churchill. I do insist on historical accuracy. I'll try to put the picture I found in the form of.
It also looks like Kathy Bates in that new lawyer show.
It's adorable.
Do you mean the new adventures of old Christine?
I also would like to point out that in dog, like, there is a certain amount of, like, the dominance, you know, alpha male kind of thing, but it doesn't rank down. It's not like I'm alpha male, so you're second and you're third.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're fourth.
You're the epsilon male. Get out of here, pussy.
It's not really how it works. There's mostly just, like, the one guy on top and then everybody else.
Also, right. I don't think... I mean, a lion looks like a lion because he's got the frame to support that mane. Does your frame support your mane? That's the that's the real question, because this golden retriever, I think if you slap a lion on him, I think he's going to look pretty goddamn goofy.
He's going to look like a shaved dog with a giant poof on his head, and he's going to probably get murdered by the other dogs.
Yeah, it's going to look like he's wearing mink. And that's not going to be a good look for him, respect-wise.
Why are you getting so hung up on your dog's appearance? I don't know if you've read Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, but the key thing is for your dog to get interested in the other dogs. Mm.
Is he sniffing their butts?
Yeah.
Is he sniffing their butts enough? He's got to get interested in the smell of their butts.
Like, what's his hump game like?
Is he letting himself be humped more than he's trying to hump
that's
the other dog?
That's a great question, Justin.
That's so key in society.
Also, maybe your dog's just boring.
Maybe your dog just fucking sucks. Like,
some dog has to suck. Mm. There has to be a most boring dog in any pack.
Is he wearing glasses?
Asshole. Nice glasses, dipshit.
Nice glasses, Churchill.
Nice glasses, Churchill. Get your kennel.
Why do all the other dogs always pick on Churchill?
You know, we bought him really nice Randy Jackson frames. I don't know what the sweetest doggy pipe.
And
he's got a great doggy pipe.
Was that a negative comment about my glasses?
No, I think your
glasses are super stylish. I am just constantly entertained by the fact that they were handcrafted by Randy Jackson.
by the artisanal Randy Jackson.
Yo, dog, I'm making you some artisanal glasses frames in my day off from working with Gloria Estefan, working on her new CD. That's going to drop next week. And then the week after that, I'm going to drop Griffin's glasses off.
And then I have to fix them because I dropped them.
And then I'm going to fix them because I dropped them. Recently, the Just for Laughs Festival came to Chicago. And with it brought basically all my favorite comedians, from big names to lesser known slash soon to be big names. Saw them all over the place, waiting across the street, walking around Walgreens. So my question is, what is the proper etiquette for meeting comedians or celebrities? And that's from our buddy Justin Russo. Justin, before I answer your question, I was hoping you could provide me with some more things that people do in a city.
Riding the bus. Reading a book.
Reading a book. Maps. Sitting on bench.
Eating.
Getting mugged.
Paying bills. Using.
I saw Bobcat Goldthwait getting mugged.
Picking up prescriptions.
Using a bathroom.
Still using a bathroom. Crying quietly on a bench.
Wondering where they all went wrong. Wondering when their big break is coming.
There are several schools of thought here.
Let's each give our own person. Normally, I think we try to come to a consensus. I say on this question, we divide and conquer and each give our own personal strategies. I'll start.
Okay.
Don't.
Yeah.
Just don't. Don't acknowledge them. Pretend you're a stranger and they're a stranger because that's the arrangement. And never introduce yourself to them ever because that's what I do. That's my jam.
That's
now let me counterpoint with this. Do.
Okay.
Because.
Well, okay. But you have to give. You can't just say just do this thing. You have to give it some sort of action.
I think that. Okay, so this might be my way of looking at it, and I might be a little over-optimistic here. But these people, you know, you get famous, you get popular because people like you. So you're supported by your fans, and they want to know, you know, that people like them. That's what I always tell myself to justify going up to them and saying, like, hey, Gallagher, I'm a huge fan. Thank you so much for all the laughs, and walking away. Mm-hmm. What you don't want to do is totally geek out and think that you in some way are going to make a lasting impression and become best friends with this person. This is your chance to, like, bump into them, say, hey, thanks so much for doing all the great work, shaking their hand, and getting away.
See, I thought you were going to go a different direction and say that, like, these people live such crazy, superficial lives that they really want that human contact. And you've got
That's
it.
What I used to
you've
tell
got
myself.
It to give to them, you know?
I used to tell myself that all these people want is for somebody to come up and be cool and not super nerdy and geeky out. And they'll be like, hey, Travis, you're actually real cool. Let's hang out back at my palatial comedian estate.
Yeah.
But that is not how it works. They want to be left alone. They don't know you. So say, like, hey, thank you so much. Take the opportunity. Like, that's what I say. When's the chance that you're going to see these people again? You know, take the opportunity to say, hey, I'm a big fan. Thank you so much.
Get out. I am, as someone who is occasionally recognized in extremely limited and specific
contexts. When you go to conventions.
Right, near or around a sign that has my name on it, I am occasionally recognized, and I can tell you it always makes me feel good. So if you have that, like, as sort of your, now you would think that that would convince me that maybe people who are actually famous that maybe they feel the same way, but I just can't. I don't know what to say.
You know, it's...
I don't know what to do.
I will say this. Is, well, Griffin, what do you do?
Oh, thanks. What I like to do is I will stand near them. That's really... Just stand near them, and you don't really have to...
And, like, wait for them to recognize you.
No, they don't even need to. I don't require that recognition. I'm just saying, if you stand close enough to somebody, they gotta talk to you eventually. Like, they're not a celeb, even if you're just, like, at the bus stop, someone's gonna. That rule also applies to celebs. So then you put the ball in their court. They start talking to you, and then you insult them a little bit. Just like insult them a little bit, but then give them
just to set the
hook. Uh-huh, and then you give them some attention, and then before you know it,
you're in love.
You're fucking Bobcat Goldthwait.
I can't.
I'm saying you don't settle for just meeting a celebrity.
Right, make a connection.
Fuck them.
Fuck.
What's a better story? I was at the Costco and I ran into Bobcat Goldthwait. And I ran into I ran into Corncob Gold Bars and at the Costco in the chicken trough, and before you knew it, we were back at my bungalow. Corncob Gold Gong,
and it turned out he was just a homeless man.
I'm Corncob Gold Gong.
I was at the Zappa's distribution center and I ran into Flapjack Nickelsack, and we made love all night long, and I don't know who he is, but he acted like he was somebody, so I figured he must have been.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
he kept insisting I take pictures with him.
The one thing I have to ask you, and though I have been occasionally, as I said, recognized, I've also been around legitimately famous people when this has happened, and I have to beg of you, don't let it happen to you. Please, if you're going to introduce yourself to someone, please know who the fuck they are. Don't just have a vague awareness that they are someone.
Are you in movies?
And try to suss it out. Aren't you somebody?
What have I seen you in?
A lot of times people will call me Travis or Griffin, which must be mortifying for them, but after like 20 years with you guys, I'm pretty used to it from like our parents' friends and stuff, so it didn't really bother me. But like, please, if you're gonna introduce yourself to an actual celebrity, know who they are, because that's pretty brutal. That like, you know, you have some relevance to society, but people can't even like
you have
it's
some
not even like solidified.
You have fame. Let me wheeze your juice for a second. Let me stand near you.
Are you a fame person?
Yeah, you're rare and exotic.
You look like somebody.
Can I touch your hand and tell all my friends about it? Let's...
And then go home and Google you and try to figure out who you are.
When we were at Max FunCon, I had a lot of post-panic attacks where I would be talking to someone whose work I know, but I don't necessarily know their visage. And like right after the conversation or interaction had ended, I would realize, or someone would tell me, like, hey, that's this person that did this thing that is great that you like and lots of people like. And I would kind of hyperventilate a little bit. But then, you know what? I would just get angry, because where do they get off acting like a regular person?
Yeah.
Why do they not introduce themselves and say, now, don't freak out?
If that right. Now, listen, don't panic, but I'm going to put my shades on. The future's so bright. Like, if someone's not, I don't think you're famous unless you put on giant sunglasses and go, oh, yeah. Is that important?
So basically you're saying that, like, the only famous person you is Matthew Broderick.
Right. He's the only famous person.
You have a really specific metric.
He's not aging well. I saw him on the Tonys.
And he looked terrified.
He always looks so scared.
What am I doing up here?
Yeah, I don't mean to say he's not aging well. I just think, like, the boyish thing is just, like, I don't know. You expect people to, like, oh, he looks like... It's hard for me to shake that image of him as boyish, I guess.
It's hard for him to shake that, too, right? Like, he's got the sort of... Bradley Whitford's got the same thing going a little bit, where he still looks like a little boy, but he looks like an old boy. He looks like a boy who is, like, super... Like, a 70-year-old boy. It's not great. It's not great for him.
I love his work.
Love his work, though. Oh, wait, are we talking about...
If you see Matthew Broderick or Bradley Whitford, please do not tell them that we said these terrible things about
him. I loved Matthew Broderick in Old Boy, the Japanese horror movie.
I love Bradley Whitford in Old Dogs.
I would give in.
Was he in that? Because I could buy that.
No, but he was. I love the man. He will dip into some bad things.
Bradley Whitford when I saw him in the premiere of Old Dogs. He was just watching the movie, but he was.
Did I ever tell you guys? Did I ever tell you guys about the time that I fucked Matthew Broderick?
No. No. Somebody just made that their ringtone. And look on the iTunes Apple Store for ringtones for my brother, and me. If your phone doesn't ring with my brother, and me, then don't.
How do people know you want to fuck Matthew Broderick?
You can either shake Matthew Broderick's hand and tell him you love Godzilla 2000, or you can fuck him like Godzilla.
Oh my God. The one person I don't want to piss off is Sarah Jessica Parker, though. She will come at you with high heels. She'll break all the SITC girls, and they will fuck you up. She will
throw you in a cauldron, turn you into soup.
On a completely different note, I want to tell you guys a story that I was reminded of the other day. Being 14 and seeing on TV that a show called Sex and the City was coming on.
Oh, yeah.
And getting so excited.
Here we go.
Like, yeah. I'm going to sneak and watch this. Watch like 10 minutes get of it. I was like, this is bullshit.
Get ready to turn into a boner penis.
To emerge butterfly-like.
Prepare your Autobots. Roll out. Roll out. Time to transform.
Voltron. Connect.
Wonder Twins activate. Form of boner.
G.I. Joe. Get them. I don't remember what they said.
I used to get that way for Suddenly Susan. I used to. Hold on. Can I try that joke? Can I do another take on that riff?
Do another take on
that
joke.
I used to get that way for Designing Women.
That was the original title for Weird Science. Did you know that?
It's just called Why Oh Why Do I Get Boners for Designing Women? Starring Vanessa Angel.
Stop.
I used to get that way for Golden Girls, but I'm fucking gross.
Yeah.
Hey, I need some advice. I've been seeing an amazing girl for a few weeks, and it's been going really well. But I saw the inside of her house for the first time yet, and she's a hoarder. It's not as bad as the people on television yet, but the entire floor and every surface were completely covered with books, papers, and other random junk. Should I break up with her because of the hoarding, or keep seeing her and hope it gets better? Oh my god.
That's a tough question.
This is like a real one. I'm not even sure we should answer this.
Well, I'm going to say this. I know this from my brief foray into psychological studies. It doesn't just get better. She's not going to just sit there one day and be like, oh, my shit's messy.
Well, it's messy in here. I'm going to clean
up. Isn't that what the whole hook of the TV show Hoarders is? They take hoarders and they fix them?
They fix them, but it's not a spontaneous thing. Like, you know what? I should pick up around here.
No, and most of the time it's a short-term fix. They clean up and then they're like, we visited 3 weeks later and Philip is still a dirty fuck.
They're still just dry ramen noodles everywhere. I've never seen Hoarders, but I assume it primarily is about ramen noodles.
Guys, I understand that it is a real psychological disorder. I get it. It is just so hard for me to watch and not just scream like, just clean up. I love to clean. I'll clean for you.
I'm a pretty messy person, but the idea of like not being able to see from one side of my house to the other, like not being able to walk across the floor without like stepping over piles of newspaper and stuff, it just skews me out.
Yeah.
In a legitimate answer to your question, you have to decide that this girl is, whether or not the possibility of this relationship is worth it.
Yeah.
Like, there is every chance that maybe you could help her with this problem. Like, maybe that's all she needs is, you know, somebody to emotionally support her and help prop her up and help get her through it. But if you go into this with eyes open, you are accepting the possibility that, you know, it might never get better. It might get wicked worse, and you may be committing to a life this way. And I think that, honestly, you are completely within your rights, ethically and emotionally and everything, to say, like, I can't pursue this with you because that's not what I want for my life. Like, I think you are completely within your rights to do that. I mean, everybody's got their stuff that they're dealing with, but if this isn't the kind of stuff that you can handle, I think you can walk away and not.
I think it's a microcosm of what you go into every time you start a relationship with someone, where you find out like, oh, they snore, or they're really bad with money, or, you know, it's a kind of,
they pee in jars and then they save the jars.
But like, you find out these things about them, and then you have to make the decision. Like, is this a thing that's going to bug me for the rest of my life? Or is this an idiosyncrasy of this person that I care about and I can look past? And so if this is a really big thing and it, you know, is a problem for you.
It's the biggest thing. Yeah. You're going to move in one day with this messy Bessie. And then guess what happens? You're a hoarder too, dog.
And suddenly you can't find
your cat. Oops, you caught hoarder. Your cat just died in a pile of Hot Pockets boxes.
Oops, I missed my cat.
Well, where is he? It's under the meatballs and stroganoff Hot Pockets boxes.
I can't say I would continue a relationship with someone in this situation, but I don't know how much you care about this girl. I mean, like, honestly, if I had started dating my wife and she had been a hoarder, she's already kind of messy, but not quite hoarder levels. I don't think I would have stopped. I mean, I don't think I could have stopped our relationship for that. I probably would have just, like, tried to been a good influence. Like, honestly, though, guys, let's be honest. Men out there, fellas, when you enter into any relationship, you are already basically an emotional hoarder. Like, there are some things about you that are way more fucked up than a super messy house. Like, way worse. You have some deep recesses in there that any man or woman that dates you is committing to attempting to fix. This is just a very external version of that.
If I were you, question asker, I would sit down with this person and be like, hey, listen, I don't know if I'm okay with this or not. How committed are you to this whole hoarding thing?
Do you think this is going somewhere?
Do you think maybe you could, like, pick it up before I come over again?
Can you just clean? Would you be willing to clean for me?
I think you fucking yell 3,000 out and you drop a smoke bomb and some caltrops and then through the window.
Through the wall. Whatever you want to do. Kool-Aid. Do it. Get out.
You know, I'm just not sure if I'm ready for things to progress with Betsy, but, you know, I gave her a key, and she's got her own drawer in my house, and she's filled it with newspaper and old floss.
That's not funny. You're a monster. You're history's greatest monster. Yeah, Yahoo, they'll pick us up. Okay.
Yeah. This Yahoo, I got a Yahoo answer. It was sent in by Emily Alinder. Thank you, Emily. It's by Yahoo Answers user Miranda colon. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Miranda smiley face. Miranda smile asks, what are some good things to write on your knuckles? You know, like the tattoos on knuckles.
How about knuckles? Wait,
what?
You know how people get tattoos on their knuckles?
It says, like, love and hate.
Envy and love.
Or, like, love and envy. Like, envy and hate.
Or, like, America, exclamation point.
Or, like, left and right, but right is, like, R-I-T-E.
Yeah, like, Rite Aid.
Or, like, CVS and Rite Aid.
Or just, like, wall grit because you ran out of knuckles.
Big Phil with two G's.
That one helps if your name is Phil.
That's an important side note. Sidebar, your name should be Phil.
I love the idea of getting something that is so recognizable but truncated because you ran out of knuckles. Like, get, like, Will Smith.
McDonald. Taco Bell would fit really nicely. That's not a truncated one, but yeah. I mean, Taco Bell. What do you want to eat for dinner tonight? On the instances where the answer is Taco Bell, it's a pretty boss answer. Just put your fists out. Like, what do you think?
I like the idea of having, like, a complete phrase like Taco Bell. And so when you see both hands together, it makes sense. But when you just see one, you're like, Bell.
Bell.
But what does that mean?
Why does your hand say taco on it?
Hand is for eating tacos. I'm trying to remember what to put in it. This hand's for eating tacos. This hand's for ringing bells, obviously. Don't want to mix them up.
Obviously. According to my religion, if my taco hand touches my bell hand, then I have to cut them both off. So what, I'm really
done. My right hand says jerk. My left hand says food. Get it? Don't you understand?
I must never confuse the two.
No.
If you wanted to put Mos Def on there, would you just put three Fs?
So it would just say F on one side?
It would say M-O-S-D, E-F-F-F.
So I like this idea of using your knuckles like a vanity plate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Too hot for you.
Pawn Star.
Hot Rod. By the way, you guys, I watched like 6 episodes of Pawn Star while waiting for my car to get fixed at Firestone. That show is so crazy. Yeah.
What realizations did you come away with?
I hate myself.
No, okay, well.
What about Thug Life, but then you have the option of putting your pinky up and it says Hug Life?
Wait a minute.
And then underside of your pinky is just a happy smiling man.
Wait a minute, what?
I'm sorry, I just got distracted by looking at the tiny smiling man I've drawn on the underside of my pinky. He's just there to help me get through the rough times.
Yeah, like this. This would be a good example. I wish I had right one. Now. Like the end of the show. I wish hello. That I had...
Hello. Hello, little pinky man.
I'm underneath your hand.
Don't mind me.
Hey, how about it, Nickelodeon? We're right here for all the voices you need.
Man.
I'm basically. Dylan, the new starfish in town.
Couldn't.
I'm Winston Churchill. Bah, bah, bah. I'm a walrus. I'm Winston Walrus. Bah, 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 bah.
What are we doing?
Why does Winston Walrus speak in dubstep?
I'm Winston Walrus. Bah, 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 bah. Get ready for the drop.
I have a dubstep speech impediment. Bah, 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 bah.
My speech impediment is Skrillex. Bah, 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 bah. I'm dropping the bass. Bah, 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 bah. It's floating back up to the surface. I love living underneath the sea with my friend the starfish, Dylan.
Oh, I'm the Dylan the starfish. We live together with our friend SpongeBob Square.
How about it, Nickelodeon? I'm right here, baby. $27 and a hot meal.
Show me the money.
Show me the money and the hot meal.
That was actually my Cuba Gooding Jr. impression.
You want to do that animated series of Snow Dogs, which you can't afford Cuba? Travis has you.
Show me the monies.
Whoa. All right. Whoa, it's like having him here on the show.
Oh, God.
I can do Cuba Gooding Jr. and Sr. Yes, do show my son the money.
That's the best celebrity impression I've ever heard.
What about Doug Life?
Okay, we're done. This has been our podcast, my brother and me. It's an advice show, OBS. I want to thank everybody for tweeting about the show and helping us to spread the word about our podcast, which we put the happy news on Twitter this week. We just reached 4 million downloads this week, which is pretty amazing, and it's all thanks to you all. So thank you to those tweeting. Thanks to Solid Neil, Sir Alex Murphy, Shit My Teddy Says, Bearded Satchel, BC Evans, Mason Your Face, Delicious Bees, Trav Man Man, Germs 317, The Real Tim Roth, Angel Rubio, our friend Roman Mars for doing the show. Thank you.
And if you haven't listened to 99% Invisible, go do it now.
Yeah, go do that. Go on.
It's incredible.
And if you haven't listened to the other Maximum Fun programs, go do that now. Go listen and Stop Podcasting Yourself and Jordan Jesse Go and Throwing Shade and Judge John Hodgman. They'll treat you right.
And Bullseye.
I also want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. It's the one album that you can come back to in good times and bad.
And hey, our friend Graham Clark just put out a stand-up comedy special. You can buy it for $5 at thestandupcomedians.com. So go to thestandupcomedians.com, pay $5, and go buy Graham's show. I bought it, and it's really funny, and he has a fantastic beard.
Just the best beard.
Just the best beard.
I want to thank everybody for helping me out on Friday, doing a big Twitter campaign for Complete Works at Cincinnati Shakespeare Company. If you are in the area and you'd like to come see me in a hilarious show, just go to CincyShakes.com. That's Cincy with a Y, Shakes.com.
He can get you in for free, so just like ask him and he can get you in. No problem.
I mean, that may or may not be true. I don't know. How cool are you? You cool?
And thank you, as always, if you could go subscribe to the show and tweet our sampler, it's bit.ly/itsmabimbam. That's the only way we have of growing, and it's all thanks to you guys. So thank you so much.
And I want to tell you real quick about the awesome people at Topotoco. The people what? That do our, the people that do our t-shirt.
How do you still not know how to say that fucking
Topotoco?
Word?
Topotoco?
Topotoco.
Topotoco.
Topotoco. I bought my girlfriend, my brother and me t-shirt from them, and in the special comments I put, I love you, now don't let it get weird. And they drew a picture of Garfield saying, well, it's too late for that. And it was like the best thing ever. So thank you guys so much. Go check out their website. It's, you, if you go to the MaximumFun.org homepage and just click on like the Max Fun merchandise link, they just have tons
and
of awesome
I,
stuff.
And I, wanna, so go check I just want to say thank you to Jim Davis. We got a really nice email from him just saying like, hey guys, I loved the goofs. I love the episode. We've all been there. Mm-hmm. We've all had that thought at some
it's
point
not weird.
Life.
And thank you, Jim, for the lovely fruit basket.
Jim sent us a fruit basket and he said, good goofs. It's all in good fun. Don't worry about it.
So thank you so much, Jim Davis.
Thank you for being thank so cool. Thank you, Jim. Griffin, give me our last question.
Yeah, sure. This one was sent in by question mark. It's by Yahoo Answers user me who asks, opinions on the name Gymnasium, that's J-I-M-nasium, for a boy?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother and me. Kiss your dad. School wear on the lips.
Keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Hey, keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Man, these girls are smart, three stacks. These girls are smart. Play your part.